This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag
Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rick Rude Von Dick Dude. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Now that the weather's a little bit colder, we're well into small dick fall.
Yeah.
And the weather is turning, and I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Feeling
hoodie and short season is the best season.
Unbelievable season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small dick. Pardon the pun, but it's going to be a big small dick fall, I feel like.
A huge small dick fall.
Massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. It's also Dorktober. It's officially Dorktober 6. Jason Rossi lives. We are very excited. We have our four normal episodes that are going to be the Mondays, including this one, throughout Dorktober. But then we will sprinkle in some more horror-themed stuff because just based on the timing of it all, you know, we have a comic book movie today, we have a comic book show next week, and then we'll lean a little bit more into the horror stuff by the end of the month. But we'll pop off. So follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you so care. YouTube.com/Dork Podcast. And we'll have some sort of YouTube exclusives and some dork shorts, short dorks. What are we calling these?
Dinks.
We're gonna have some dinks.
Some dork dinks. Just little dinks.
We have a few dinks out there. Yeah, all kinds of stuff, whether it's movies, whether it's comics, whether it's some of these TV shows that are out there. We'll sort of get it all out there for you.
We'll dink them up.
Last week, I saw a film. As I recall, it was a horror film.
Yeah, I've been watching a ton of horror films, so I am all in on this horror stuff, Ryan. But what do you say? We have a jam-packed episode, as we always do. Let's dive into it. Speaking of television programs, Ryan, have you started Midnight Mass on the Netflix?
I haven't yet. I want to. There's just something in the way, which we will bring up later.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I started and finished Midnight Mass, meaning I've watched the entire thing. This, of course, is the latest from Mike Flanagan, who brought us The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor. So to me, it was a tiebreaker type series for him. I loved the first one. We did a standalone episode on it. You can check that out in the archives. The second one, I did not care for at all.
So much so that I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, it sucked. It was a slow... This too is a slow burn.
Okay.
But I feel like it was good. Whereas the Bly Manor was just a slog. A slog is a slow burn without a payoff. Slow burn is, all right, this is taking a while, but I'm glad I was here.
So wait a minute. What was the first one he did?
Hill House.
Okay. I'm getting like really
Hill House
confused,
is great.
Hill House is great. With one of, I'm not going to tell you when or where it comes because it's amazing, but one of the best scares in any show that I've seen.
And one of the best jump scares.
That's what I'm saying. It was one of the best scares.
Yeah. But that one was also creepy. That one stuck with me for a while, like all the ghosts in the house and all the different versions of them. And like,
and I love that idea.
That was creepy as shit. Bly Manor really wasn't scary. And I think they kind of, the trailer was like, it's going to be, but then it wasn't. And then this Midnight Mass is altogether different. This is the one with Matt Saracen in it as well. He's one of the starring roles.
Correct.
So good to see him back. It's 7 episodes and they're all a full hour. There's no cheating it. There's no like 40 minute episode. They're all an hour.
Well, there's none that are like one that's 40 minutes and the next one's like 120, like an hour 20.
They're like all an hour, hour two, hour three, somewhere
excellent.
In there. But check that out. That could be something that we discuss in a dink at some point this month. We got the new poster for the Book of Boba Fett, which will be coming to Disney Plus December 29th. on a scale of 1 to 6, how excited are you for this series?
5.
Yeah.
I've been let down by Star Wars before. I really don't want them to screw this up.
Right.
And I hope they don't. I mean, it's Robert Rodriguez, so
I think it's going to be good.
He directed that episode where Boba Fett shows up in The Mandalorian. So if it's anything like that, and so reading what he's saying, he's like, you haven't seen anything. He's like, if you thought that episode was crazy, he's like, you haven't seen anything yet.
And so, I think it's going to be good. And if you remember like the post credits of Mandalorian season 2, sort of like where we're at in the time fold there, like Jabba killing Jabba and all that stuff. Like I'm in, I am all the way.
He's sitting in Jabba's seat. Mm-hmm. So that's good. He's back in Tatooine.
Oh, it's going to be great. Going to be great. Ryan, how about this? The house from Scream is now an Airbnb. We could rent the house from Scream. Where is it? It's a good question. I want to say
California. It's got to be somewhere like Northern California.
House I'm guessing. In Scream. Yeah, it's got to be California, right? Let's see. The original Scream house is an Airbnb. In Northern California.
Northern California. See, I knew it looked like a Northern California, like a San Francisco kind of house.
Yeah, I don't know why. We could watch a show. We could go out to the garage, grab a beer, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Do a shot-for-shot remake of the last scene in the house.
Or the love scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You could be Billy. I could be Sydney. That'd be nice. It'd be a nice moment to share. Betwixt friends, I think. You're not as big of a Scream guy as me.
I am not. I'm not a biggest. No, not really.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. The Chucky TV series. Any interest in this? It's coming October 12th to both USA and Sci-Fi.
Zero.
Same.
Zero. I haven't seen a Chucky movie since Child's Play 3, the one where Andy went into the army.
Well,
or military school. He was in like military school. And I remember like one kid jumped on a grenade, like in the movie that Chucky threw. And I was like, I'm all set with this. I was like 13. I'm like, I'm good with this.
I saw one of the newer ones, like with Jennifer Tilly. I forget if it was Seed of Chucky or Bride of Chucky. I saw a couple of those. They're not for me. I know there's an audience for it. I've never really enjoyed the Child's Play movies at all.
No,
not happening. Speaking of not enjoying it, Lock and Key is coming back this month, season 2, October 22nd. And it's a real shame because it is truly one of the better horror comics. We'll find out later in the month if it makes our top 10 list. But it's a good horror comic written by Joe Hill. Season 1 was so bad that I'm not going to watch this.
It was annoying how bad it was. It wasn't like it was so bad that I hated it and was like angry about it. I was just more annoyed.
Yeah.
That's what they decided to do with that. And I feel the youngest of the children.
Yeah.
Probably the most annoying child actor I've ever
Cody,
seen.
Cody. Yeah.
Oh my God. So annoying.
Didn't care for him.
No.
It's a tough thing to do to pull off. This week, Ryan, not only is the topic du jour, which we're going to get to here coming up, was released this weekend. Another movie is released this weekend, both on HBO Max and in the theaters. That would be the prequel to The Sopranos, The Many Saints of Newark.
And you watched it.
I watched it. Horrible. Absolute trash.
Now you used a phrase to describe it, and I want you to tell the people what you thought of this movie.
Chode jeans.
Chode jeans.
This movie was chode jeans, and if you're new to the program, chode jeans would be like a 1.
Yep.
And laser beams would be a 6.
Yes.
Fireballs would be like a 5.
Yep.
Friar's Magneto mask would be like a 2. And we're still trying to figure out 3 and 4.
Still trying to figure out a 3 and 4, yeah.
But, man, this sucked. And I, you know what we should probably do is our good mutual friend, Tristan Bessie, is a massive Sopranos fan.
Yes.
We should probably have him on to discuss what he thought, because I don't like it as much, but it was so bad. And I watched it with my wife, and she's like, what are they doing, like another show after this? Is there gonna be more movies? Or like, what is this? I'm like, I think this is it. Like, I think this is the
we're good here.
Standalone. I was like, it was kind of at times like laugh out loud bad. Like, what are we doing?
So was Gandolfini's kid any good?
He was fine. He's kind of weird to look at. I think it might be his hair. Like he's got a weird
hair. Yeah.
A weird haircut. But he was fine. Like he didn't like none of the actors ruined it. It was more like, what did anything even happen?
Oh, that sucks.
Like, one of those movies where I'm telling you, the only reason people would like it is because they're like, oh, that's Uncle Junior when he was younger. You're like,
right.
Okay.
Oh, that's Paulie Walnuts when he's a teenager. Like, who gives a shit?
It's you're like, okay, these are the younger guys. Like, and then even as the Sopranos, I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I definitely watched all the episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everything even like lines up. Like some of the stuff that they said, some of the ages, some of the things. I'm like, I don't know how much like work they really put into this to make it all line, like, you know, fit in with the series.
And didn't they, Vera Farmiga is his, apparently plays his mother.
Yes.
Which is an odd casting.
So yeah, play, not only does he, does she play the mom, but the way like they put like a prosthetic nose on her and stuff. And like the way she looks, she actually looks even more like Edie Falco than she does the mother. So it's kind of, it's almost, so that's what, so Katie was like, wait, is that supposed to be? I'm like, no, that's his mom. Yeah, I know it looks exactly like her.
It's very but cool. Maybe there's like some like Oedipus thing going on there, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Which is,
but even still, and then like John Bernthal, who I love, you love, he plays Johnny Boy, Tony's dad.
Yep.
I guess mini spoiler, barely in it. Like doesn't register at all. Like it's hardly in the goddamn movie.
And is it every movie about gangsters? We just have to have Ray Liotta in it somehow.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, and it was like, wow, he looks weathered at this.
Yeah. Point. Yeah. He is not a person whose face is made for HD.
No,
he and looks like someone
crisp HD here.
And someone said, as I was growing up, and someone said about one of my colleagues said about a person with severe acne scars, he looks like someone lit his face on fire and put him out with golf shoes. That's probably one of the worst insults I've ever heard. I'm just repeating it. I didn't say it.
Another one I heard one time, and I didn't say it. I was just in the presence of somebody, and it just caught me just right where the guy, poor guy, just was like face covered in acne. And like, he was like, I don't know what he was doing. He must have been at a place that he was working at. And we walked away, and the person I was with, just all he said was very calmly, got to be a tough beard to shave. And it fucking killed me because, like, the detail of, like, going down, I'm like, oh, God. Terrible. What a line. Though. And I still think about that sometimes. I'm like, yeah,
that must have been a really tough beard to shave.
Must have been really. But
neither one of us. I was blessed. I never had bad acne.
No.
My brother did.
Yeah, I was super fortunate. Like, I would obviously, like anybody else, I'd get. Every like at the wrong time, you'd get one huge one or something. But like, exactly. I never
like I would get the one big one, like right on the end of my nose. But like, that's about it.
What is this?
Yeah.
But yeah, I really know. I for sure was lucky in that. Mm-hmm. But no, Many Saints of Newark. Are you even going to watch it? Are you a big Sopranos fan? Not really.
You know, I was in the moment. It's one of those things that I kind of lost it. You know how some people just kind of like stuck to that fandom?
Yeah.
I get it because as a Breaking Bad fan.
Yeah.
Like if they were to come out with like another Breaking, obviously, but they crushed it with Saul and El Camino was pretty good. But like, if they came out with another Breaking Bad thing, I'd watch that.
So El Camino is interesting because I remember we talked about it. We did a standalone on it. I didn't like it as much as you did. It had a similar vibe, but El Camino to me was done better than this. Like El Camino was like, what really happened? What were the stakes? What are we doing?
Right.
And so this is supposed to provide a little bit more backstory. And the real kind of lead in this Many Saints of Newark is supposed to be Christopher Moltisanti's father. Is it Dickie? He's supposed to be, because he was the one who really influenced Tony.
Okay.
And that's why
he took an interest in Christopher.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like they don't even do a good job with that, like at all. So I don't know. You guys can tweet us at Dork Podcast or email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Maybe I missed something. Maybe it's a better movie than I thought. But
I said his name, Christopher.
Yeah, there it is.
Not Christopher.
People wouldn't have known who you're talking about. Now they do.
Yeah.
Now they got it. All right, music. Let me throw some music news at you.
Please.
Here's the guy. What was your reaction? Super Bowl halftime. Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige.
So I am so excited for this. One, it's in LA, so we get some West Coast rap. Eminem fits in there somehow. He's Dr. Dre's boy. He's not a West Coast rapper. He's a Midwest rapper. It's fine. You know what I'm so excited about? I usually watch the Super Bowl with my father. That's just kind of like what I do. It doesn't matter who's playing. We've had some good luck.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the Patriots win a bunch of Super Bowls. But he, last year, I have never seen him so angry when he was watching the weekend's halftime performance.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see him have to sit through Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar. Like, I cannot wait for him to have to sit through that. And just, I'm not even going to watch the show. I'm just going to stare at him. He's one of those guys who, like, he's a musician. He's been a musician my whole life, but he hates rap.
You should record him watching.
I'm just going to do this thing where I'm sitting like this with my phone in my armpit, just recording him.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah. I'm absolutely going to do that. That's why I'm so excited for this halftime show.
I'm pretty excited. My one pause though, is that whether it's like the VMAs or the Grammys, sometimes live rap doesn't translate great. Like it's hard. I feel like they crank up the music way higher than the vocal or like whatever, and it just doesn't sound right.
It's going to be all pre-recorded, so the sound is going to be good. Now, we don't need to get into the difference between lip syncing and pre-recorded. Lip syncing means it's someone else. Pre-recorded means it's your own voice, which is why, you know, people like Britney Spears have put on shows with pre-recorded vocals. It just happens to be them, so they can say, I'm not lip syncing, it's my voice.
Yeah,
technically.
Oh, we know
it's cool. Yeah.
I feel like they're going to run out of time up there. Like they got all five of them have like a ton of hits.
Oh, my guess is it's Dr. Dre and it's going to be like a timeline. Like you're going to start with like him and Snoop and then
end it with like Kendrick Lamar.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend was the season debut of Saturday Night Live where Owen Wilson was the host. And Kacey Musgraves was the musical guest.
Sure was.
Did you see what she got up to?
I see what she got. She did Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Yeah. I told my wife, I'm like, oh, we should probably see her in concert. She's like, all right.
This is what this is going to be like.
If this is what this show is, let's buy a bunch of seats and move around and get all the angles of the show.
She should do it with one of those round stages, like in the round. The vicious circle, like Dane Cook.
I think she's my favorite artist now. I'm like, all right, just chill out.
She's a talented girl.
I was very excited about it. Yeah, she's very talented. She also puts on a hell of, if you're somebody out there with little kids, the dork dads for dork daughters, there is a incredible Twinkle, Twinkle Little Star rendition by Kacey Musgraves.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she did one of like the other vocals for the Frozen movie. So I forget.
Oh, really?
What? So you know how like they do that on the soundtrack?
Yeah. Cause was it Kristen Stewart and Idina Menzel?
Kristen Bell.
That was not, yeah, Kristen Stewart.
Not Kristen Stewart.
Tony Stewart, the race car driver.
Yeah. She does a version of one of the songs that, I think it's Rachel Lee Cook sings. Not Rachel Lee Cook. Who's the, Evan Rachel Wood sings.
Rachel Lee Cook.
No, Evan Rachel Wood sings a song, and Kacey Musgraves does a version of it, the All Is Found.
Got it. I haven't watched Frozen yet. I haven't dived in. I haven't dove.
I tell you what.
I haven't dove in.
Donned. I haven't dived into it yet.
We may never know what it is. Hey, you know what snuck up on me? Well, it hasn't snuck up on me yet because it's What's 2 weeks away. Do you know that DC Fandom is on the 16th?
It's like next week.
Jumping Jehovah's. Like, how are we gonna?
That might be a dink. We might have to do a dink on DC Fandom.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do a dink on
a short dork is a dink.
It's a dink. Yeah, we're gonna do dinks. We got so many dinks planned for the month.
So many dinks this month.
Yeah, well, that was good last year. It was worth tuning in for. There was a lot of good exclusive stuff. And between the comics, the video games, the movies, and the TV shows, a lot of good dinks.
Well, you got to figure, and not only video games, too.
So I said video games.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good ones coming out, as you know. Speaking of, Ryan.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, sir.
Well, first of all, this portion of the program is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Wild Bill Soda. Go to drinkwildbills.com, use the promo code RonVonD, and get you some snacks and some treats.
Come on.
Not only is this Dorktober a small dick fall, but it's also the season of treats with trick-or-treating. Right. So get yourself some soda. Get some candy.
Yes.
They have candy.
They have candy?
Oh, yeah. They have little root beer candies, and they got good
nice.
Shit.
Nice.
The other thing I want to mention, too, so if you're listening to this right now or you're in the chat, Mallory Moreau asked us to give a shout-out for Haymakers for Hope is a boxing card. All money raised goes to cancer research, and Boston fights are all on the 13th of October. It's on Lansdowne Street. So if you guys go check that out, go to Haymakers for Hope. All goes to cancer research. So make sure you check that out. Thank you, Mallory. Now, getting into the video game minute, we'll start with a spooky. So there's an open world game coming up right now called Choo Choo Charles. Now, let me explain this to you.
Okay.
It is a giant, it's an open world game. And the object of the game is to scrounge around in the dark in the forest and create the salvage to create a train, which you will then use to take on a giant train spider named Charles.
So did John Peters from Wild Wild West come up with this?
I'm telling if giant you look spider? At look at the release trailer for Choo Choo Charles right now, it looks fucking horrifying. And it's not a joke. Like that well, it is kind of like a tongue-in-cheek like, joke, but
it's not like the Snuggie. You don't wear
no, it's
it
not no, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
Right. So does it come in? Does the game come in any other styles? Not really.
Not really.
What are we, 10 years old? I've seen every cock on the planet.
All right. All right. So with that, this week, Metroid Dread comes out. I tweeted about it today. I've seen so much gameplay of it. I'm so excited to play it. I love 2D side-scrolling games. So I'm really excited for Metroid Dread. Big news in the video game, I guess, house is like game house news, Capcom. The maker of Street Fighter, the maker of Mega Man, the maker of Resident Evil. They're going mostly to PC now.
Huh.
So they're switching from to consoles to PC. They're going to make PCs like their main mode of, main mode of transportation, but that's not right. But
gaming.
Yeah. So that's kind of big news. Capcom's always been a console gaming system. So it'll be interesting to see what they do from there. Another game house news. So Ubisoft has now come under fire for misconduct and allegations and all that stuff. And you wonder this gaming culture, like how deep this rabbit hole goes. It does not look good for the video game industry. I know certain game houses have taken steps to make sure this doesn't happen, and a lot of people are doing a little bit better, but it's just another one, just you know, people how they talk about women and all that shit. It's just gross. Just don't be a dick. Gross. If you're going to be involved in the video game industry, just don't be an asshole, right? How hard is it?
Why can't people just be normal? I don't really.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know.
Be weird on your own time by yourself, you know?
Speaking of being weird on your own time by yourself, I am still playing Deathloop. It took me a little while to get into it, but the game is worth the hype. It's super fun.
Okay.
I like games that you can play your own way.
Yeah.
And this is definitely that type of game. So if you're interested in playing games your own way, there's a lot of reading in the beginning. There's a lot of explanation, which kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to learn as I go, but you kind of have to like do a lot of reading, which for people who just want to get in there and go guns blazing.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Not for me.
Yeah. Nintendo during their Nintendo Direct noted that the last downloadable Smash Player Fighter is coming out soon, and people are starting to speculate who that is. It's all over the place. I can't tell you who it is, but hopefully it's a... I'm guessing it's going to be like a Pokemon or something.
Got it.
That would be my guess.
Makes sense.
And do I have anything else? No, that's about it. That's about it for the Video Game Minute, brought to you by our friends at Wild Bill Soda. Go to drinkwildbills.com. Use the promo code RonVonD.
All right, Ryan.
Boom, back.
I got a question for you.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Am I?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The topic du jour is the topic of the day. And today it is Venom, Let There Be Carnage, a movie that finally was released in theaters, a movie that had several release dates. And in fact, at one point was scheduled for the middle of this month, and they actually had the rare thing where they changed it again, but they made it earlier. So it came out this weekend, 97 minutes long, rated PG-13. On Rotten Tomatoes currently, 59% by the critics, 85% by the audience. It's a real number. I just looked it up on the website right before we went on the air.
People have been dying to go to the movies, apparently.
People missed movies, for sure.
Absolutely.
We will begin, as we always do, with our movie and TV reviews. Spoiler free. Let me ask you, Ryan, did you like it?
It is the single greatest cinematic experience I have seen in my lifetime.
I'm sorry?
What did I say?
You said it's the single greatest cinematic adventure of your lifetime?
No, that's a lie. This movie sucks.
Okay. You kind of threw me for a loop there with the first. It wasn't. Yeah, I didn't.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I wouldn't say I liked it. I wouldn't say I hated it, though, either. Like, there were definitely things in it that I was like, all right, I at least found some joy in it. So, like, you know what? Maybe I liked it, but it's not good. It's not good behavior.
No, it's not good. Not that year.
Not that year.
So,
it's not good behavior.
I like the first one a little bit better. Here's the problem I had with this. It needed to, like, pick a lane. You know what I mean? And it didn't. Yeah. The first one was what it was. I like the first one a little bit more than other people. I have certain pet peeves.
Okay.
About movies.
Yeah.
One of them, again, and this isn't a spoiler or anything, when you say the title of the movie in the movie,
it happens.
That really pisses me off.
You didn't cheer? Did people in your theater cheer when that happened?
No. Nope. It was a mostly empty theater, but like
nobody stood up and applauded. Yeah, that's a weird thing. It seems like a cheap kind of pop. Like, you're almost better off and I don't know who the experts are, who the studio experts are. Maybe they're like, hey, this title pops more. But I feel like Venom 2 is fine.
Venom 2 would have been fine.
Venom 2 is fine. But it's Venom, Let There Be Carnage. You got the big tease at the end of the first Venom that you were going to get Carnage. Now they put Cletus Cassidy in just like an asinine wig. It just didn't make any sense at the end of the first one when you saw him just kind of sitting there in the jail cell and you're like, oh, this is where they're going? And I had one major question at that time.
Was that a toupee, you piece of shit?
And it was.
It was. So he had several hairstyles.
He did.
He went Luke Wilson old school on this.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Just like showing up, new haircut. Like, hey, Luke, what do you... Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I just want to
like, he gets out of jail and all of a sudden he's got like this like gnarly, like bowl cut almost. What the hell was that?
It is. It's hard to figure out because is it straight comedy? Is it like it's half and half?
That's what
I'm saying. It's hard to say like what it falls into because the PG-13 kind of kills it, and their big thing was like they were announcing like, oh hey, it really like pushes the envelope, like it is right up to the line. Was it was
because you heard the F word once.
Yeah, you got an F bomb in there,
which is my favorite, actually my favorite line of the movie.
yeah there was some that line was good.
Yeah,
I think, and when we get into it, we'll refer to when it's just Tom Hardy, we'll refer to that as Eddie Brock. And then when it's like the deep voice or the guy, we'll refer to that as Venom. Yeah. I do think Venom has some decent lines throughout the movie.
He does.
Venom's the only thing that really gives me any kind of enjoyment throughout the film. Like the back and forth, he's kind of funny. Now, some of the stuff is a little wonky. Some of it's kind of weird. It's a tough character to bring on screen, to be fair. Like, it's not an easy character to take from the comic book page and apply to the screen. I thought some of the CGI was fine. But also, I found myself at times, and it's funny because we just did an episode last week on all of the non-MCU Marvel movies. Doesn't this almost feel like it would have fit in with the first two Fantastic Four movies? Daredevil, like Ghost Rider, like probably better than Ghost Rider, but like it kind of fits in with that group. And you're like, that was 20 years ago. A movie should be a lot better than that.
And that, and again, I mean, you have, it's just the wackiness of it kind of threw me a little bit. And I know it's a comic book movie, but it was kind of zany at times and wacky. There were some things that I did like that I have to talk about in spoilers, but they were kind of not throwaways. Like, they were there intentionally, but it was good. It was good that they did certain things.
It's weird to me, and I think part of it is not just the writing of the movie, and this could be a me issue for sure, but Tom Hardy, Woody Harrelson, and Michelle Williams are all incredible actors. And
Oscar nominated.
Yep. And they're all incredible, like, dramatic actors.
Yes.
And then this movie, it's just weird seeing them deliver some of the lines or, like, be in the movie as this, because at times they do try to be serious, but then they're just right back to, like, slapdick stuff. But it's not slapdick like Deadpool where it's hilarious.
It's small slapdick.
It's what?
It's small slapdick.
Small. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously it's the fall.
Right.
That makes sense. But yeah, it was weird. I was trying to think after I watched it, I was going back and forth on whether or not I liked it more or less than the first one. And I'm still not sure. I think I like it less. I should like it more, though, because, like, you're introducing Carnage into the movie.
This should be a no-brainer. Like, it absolutely be a no-brainer. But
yeah,
again, the runtime, 97 minutes. And that's, by the way, I think that's with the credits. I think it was like an hour and almost like an hour and 20.
Yeah,
like it wasn't.
Yeah, it was quick. They cut a lot out of it.
It seemed that way.
And Andy Serkis, the director, we do not know him for directing a lot of things.
Which you could see there was the movement of Venom to me. Very hulking. So, like, Andy Serkis obviously is, like, he is a master of like walking like a gorilla. And there are scenes where even in the trailer you see Venom kind of like pouncing like he would like a gorilla, like a big hulking thing that he is. But so that was kind of interesting. But there's not enough there. There's not enough meat on the bone, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I would say the story overall was kind of lacking, you know? We're comic book movie fans. We get it. It doesn't have to be Citizen Kane, but, like,
no, it doesn't. No.
I don't know. I thought the action was good, not great, and it felt like it could have been better. It wasn't bad. It wasn't like shit. There were some cool kind of fight action scenes, but it's also, again, I keep going back to it. It's kind of a weird character to kind of put on the screen, and then you're like, you're trying to figure out, all right, like, what can he do, and are they showing you the most of what he can do? I don't know if they did that.
I don't know how to answer that question.
No.
It's just like, I don't know how they did that, but one of the things too, so, like, I'll talk about it in spoilers.
To me, again, I think honestly kind of saved it. There was not it wasn't laugh out loud funny, but the Venom character had a few things where I chuckled a handful of times because of Venom.
Yes. And his the one in particular, which we'll talk about in spoilers, was far and away the best one.
So out of the comic book movies we've seen this year, this is clearly the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have the Suicide Squad, you had Black Widow, and you had Shang-Chi, but this is funnier than Shang-Chi.
Yes, or actually, there's some pretty funny moments in Black Widow. Surprisingly,
I was gonna say it probably isn't funnier than Black Widow just because of the Red Guardian and because of Florence Pugh.
Yeah,
they were probably both funnier, and then obviously Suicide Squad was funnier.
Suicide Squad was,
yeah,
probably the funniest movie I've seen this year.
Oh. Yeah, they don't really do comedies anymore. So
Jackass hasn't come out yet.
No. You see Bam Margera said what put him into rehab?
No.
White Claws. There's a TMZ report. White Claws got him back in. I don't know, man. I feel bad for Bam.
I feel bad for Bam. That's a sickness. That is something that not to be taken lightly, but it reminds me of that scene in, like, Half-Baked when Dave Chappelle tells the addicts group that he's in there for marijuana, and Bob Saget gives him a hard time.
Yeah, I know. You're saying.
Yeah.
And I thought the characters, for the most part in this movie, were not great. Like, Venom's supporting cast, if you will, not great. Kind of a letdown. Whereas, like, for example, we just mentioned Black Widow, and it's like all the characters around Black Widow made that movie so great. Like, I really, really liked Black Widow, and I think it was the Rachel Weisz character, the Florence Pugh character, obviously David Harbour. Like, it was just like a good ensemble. This, this really wasn't. Even if the actors individually are good actors, the only character on screen I actually ever cared about was Venom.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Eddie Brock slash
Venom. Well, that's what I mean. Like Tom Hardy, like Tom Hardy's voice.
Yeah. Shriek, instantly forgettable, but important. Yeah. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Correct.
Michelle Williams and her fiance, get the fuck out of here.
Like, I know it was supposed to provide some like humor, but it also felt like it was kind of jammed in at times and not really.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like the whole final fight scene, like the fiance's there. Like, why are you there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get into that with him too.
Yeah.
Coming up. And again, compared to other comic book movies, I would say
no.
It's kind of, it fits in with a lot of the movies that we discussed last week.
Uh-huh.
So what's your hashtag dork score?
I'm gonna give it a generous 3.
I was thinking 3 as well. Yeah,
like a soft, super soft 3.
Oh, it's a 3.
Yeah,
it's
like a flaccid 3.
Flaccid 3.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because again, the comedy and some other aspects of it were enough to keep it going. I have never, by the way, because they kept talking about everything I saw on Twitter was like mid-credit scene. I have never spent an hour and a half of my life just to see 30 seconds of a movie.
I think that's why I'm surprised that the audience score is 85% on Tomatoes, because everything that you see, and I didn't read a lot of reviews yet because I purposely don't want to be like just stealing people's takes like by accident. So I usually don't read anything or listen to anybody's anything until we do our episode. But on just on Twitter alone, everybody's response was like, I love the movie, be like basically because of the mid credits.
Right.
Like how can the audience score be so high when, again, something that technically wasn't even in the movie is your favorite part. But so obviously there's a mid credit scene. We're gonna really unpack that coming up here in spoilers. Anything else non-spoiler? Is this a must-go-to theater movie?
Not theater. Theater, no. No. But the problem is because of the mid-credit scene,
yeah,
you have to see it.
Yeah, you do. This might be one of those movies that people kind of don't and just bite the bullet on the spoiler kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay the $20 or whatever to go see it. Mm-mm. But the moment it comes on HBO Max, it's a good way to spend 90 minutes of your weekend at home. I have no problem with that. I would do that
with zero stakes. Like, you have no, like, okay, let's just watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't like not watch something better because of this. But if you need something to watch, then watch it.
Right.
All right.
Spoilers. Here come the spoilers.
All right, spoilers for Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I figured this week, maybe the best way to do it is just sort of, rather than going through the entire movie, I don't know if that's necessary, we can kind of, good and bad.
Okay.
You can say something good about it, I'll say something good about it, and then you can say something bad. Like, it's not point counterpoint, because we view it the same way, but let's start with a couple of positive things from the movie.
The fact that they referred to Shriek's ability as a mutation was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, again, a kind of a throwaway line.
Yeah.
Where she says something like the mutations are getting worse. But the fact that they recognize that she's a mutant, that and the MCU to this point, that's been a no word. You don't say that word.
Yeah, that's true. You haven't used that. And they also refer to her as Shriek once. Now, you know her name and they say her name. And like right from the beginning, I think comic book fans would know that it's Shriek. But it takes till much later in the movie when Woody Harrelson refers to her as Shriek. I don't think she, like, but overall, I didn't care for her.
What did she do the thing like 3 times?
She shrieked a few times. I do find it like somewhat interesting that power or just sound in general is one of the things that the symbiote doesn't like.
Yeah, and I remember thinking about her being in the movie and being like, how are they going to do that when symbiotes are sensitive to, and they do this in the fire and sound, like they don't like either of those things.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, and it becomes like a running theme. So I was obviously with Pat Milligan, the cop. Was it Milligan or Mulligan?
Mulligan.
So I knew what happened to him. So he gets infected, right?
Yeah, and so in the comics, Mulligan is toxin.
So I started going and I started thinking about all of the symbiotes that exist. There are a ton. This could go on for a long, long time. I think one of the coolest things they might be able to do with Spider-Man and Venom would be like Anti-Venom.
Yeah.
With Mr. Negative. Like that would be cool.
Yep.
But there's the symbiote world is way bigger than you think it is. Oh, and Toxin.
Yeah.
Toxin is the mix of Venom and Carnage. And he's supposedly one of the more powerful of the, I forget the name of the, this is bad Spidey thing of me, but he is one of the baddest of that alien species that I need to figure out that name.
And I believe though, he is a guy who has worked both as a good guy and a bad guy. Right. Correct. So like there are times where he works with Spider-Man and cause he, again, the human version of him is that detective, the guy who plays Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
A bunch of other stuff too.
He plays Tommy in your favorite movie, Snatch.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. But yeah, so that's cool. And like you're kind of opening up the universe a little bit too. Like, or like at least at this case, at this time, the Venomverse.
The Krintar is the name of the symbiote race.
Got it.
So forgive me.
But... Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mentioned before, I did find joy in the Venom quips and his back and forth with Eddie and some of that stuff. And they gave it away in one of the trailers, unfortunately. But the scene where Venom first sees Carnage and he's like, oh, that's a red one. We gotta go. Like the reaction is so good. And he like, he won't come out. Sort of like Hulk and like Bruce Banner won't come out. He's like, you need to come out here. You need to come out. He's like, it's right. We gotta go. Like Annie will get over it. Like we didn't really like her that much. We gotta go.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
So one of his was thank you one person. Like that was when he's like rapping.
And so
I love you. And he's like, thank you one person.
Thank you one person. It's great. Yeah. And then he's like, at the end where he's like, we will be lethal protectors. He's like, we'll need a case.
Oh, that's the other thing that pissed me off too. They kept saying lethal protectors.
No, I know. But when he said we need a cape and a mask, it's pretty hilarious because like you don't need a mask.
You are the mask. And the best line I said, the best line he delivered right before he ate Cletus Cassidy's head. He goes, fuck this guy. Like, because I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, fuck that guy. Like, whatever.
It is pretty funny. It's a callback to the first movie too, but Eddie won't let Venom eat people, and he's just like feeding him chicken and chocolate all the time. It's like what he needs. And like the way to get him out, he's like, I'll let you eat everybody. And then he comes back out and it's just fucking great. And you mentioned how Michelle Williams' fiance was there and like,
what the fuck are you doing there? Get out of here.
Had no purpose. And then Venom even says, like, I think he was more of a hindrance than a help. Like,
he was. He just kept getting in the fucking way.
Oh, I meant to bring this up earlier, but I have this little figurine I got here.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little Venom. So these are like my favorite figurines. They're small. They don't make them anymore. And you used to be able to get them at Target. So if you're watching on the YouTube, you could see it.
A little Venom. Yeah.
So should I have bought this? The answer is yes, because back in the day, these were like $2.50. And they got a little weight to them. They're kind of heavy. Yeah. They make them now, and they're very like plasticky. This is like... I don't know what it's made out of, but it's badass. I have like 15 of them, and they're all different Marvel characters. I got a Spider-Man. I got a Punisher.
That was a little glossy, too. So it's like got that nice...
Like a sheen.
Yeah.
It's legit, but the Venom one is a cool one. So it's always been a good character. What was some of the other lines he said? Yeah, the fuck this guy one. That made me crack up.
Thank you, one person. I just like that so much.
And like when he was the convenience store... when he like went inside of her, and Michelle Williams came in with her boyfriend, and he just starts making fun of the boyfriend. He's like, "Wait, what? He just called me a pussy." She just called me a pussy, but it was like him the whole time. Pretty funny. Like I'll tell you, like that's why I would give it a 3 solely based off of some of the lines that he had. He was pretty
What was I gonna say? The whole thing with the mutations and all of that, and obviously the end credit scene. But it started out with like this weird, like Goonies vibe. Like they had to follow these clues that with the rocks that he was, you know what I mean?
Like oh,
when, like Venice, when they were trying to find the bodies that Cletus like, Cassidy, and they well, found yeah, one, right. And they're like, oh, Eddie Brock broke the case open.
So that's one of the bads I would say too, is like, I don't think it was a great use of Carnage. And they also didn't do a great job explaining like exactly why he was interested in Eddie Brock and like why Eddie Brock had so much interest in him. And even at the end, he's like, well, I just wanted you to be my friend. And you're like, well, what the fuck? And you're like,
and that's, I was like, no, fuck this guy. Like, no, I'm going to be your friend. And I remember like saying that to myself, like, no, fuck that guy. I'm going to be his friend.
And then you're like, okay, he bit him and that's how he got it. But you're like, I don't know. And I didn't think he and Shriek, you didn't really like care at all for them. And it didn't feel like a great relationship. Just like Michelle Williams and her boyfriend, you never really felt like, oh, they were inseparable.
And did you get the idea that like they were trying to make like Cletus Cassidy and Shriek kind of like Marvel's or Sony's Harley Quinn and Joker? Like there was that kind of vibe to it, which
a little bit
seemed silly. When you force it, it seems dumb.
Yeah, it didn't really work. I didn't like that at all. Also, as much as I liked the Eddie Venom relationship, when they fought each other in their house, like it went on way too long and it wasn't necessary. I'm like, I don't need this. I like the quipping back and forth. I don't need them to physically fight each other.
It was very Fight Club.
Yeah. And I didn't need it at all. Didn't care for that. I don't know what anything else good or bad before we get to the mid credit or the credit scene, because that's really probably the biggest conversation.
I mean, that's the conversation to have. I mean, other symbiotes that you could see in film, obviously like Toxin would be really cool.
Yep.
I don't know if they're going to go that deep into this, but there are so many cool symbiotes.
Well, I bet they do Toxin, because at the very end, there's like a little glimmer in Mulligan's eye, like his eyes are kind of blue. So I think the plan is for a Venom trilogy. I think there's going to be a Venom 3. Tom Hardy's like all about Venom. He loves it. He loves Venom like Ryan Reynolds loves Deadpool.
Yeah.
And it hasn't obviously been the same success, but it is cool that like he loves it as much as he does. So I think there's going to be a Venom 3. And my guess is Toxin would be in it, but not like a main character.
So somebody in the chat, I forget who it was, said Drax and Venom would be a cool like meetup.
Here you go. Yeah, asking Venom and
they
Drax.
Have, believe it or not.
Okay.
So Flash Thompson, who is Peter Parker's childhood bully, actually becomes a host to Venom and joins the Guardians of the Galaxy as Night Venom, Space Knight Venom. So if any of the Flash Thompson Venom stuff is actually really good. I think they call it like Agent Venom at some point. He's like a secret agent. This is when the Life Foundation tried to build like super soldiers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Flash Thompson actually becomes one of them.
Well, so. And so this is not to just throw this at you, but isn't J. Jonah Jameson, who will get his son in the comics, was the one who was gonna marry at one point.
Mary Jane.
MJ was gonna, at one point was gonna marry MJ, and then he went to space because he was like an astronaut,
right?
And then he got attached with like a symbiote, and in some versions he's actually the one that brings Venom back, and that's how Spider-Man gets involved. But he actually has like he's a character, he's a power at some point.
Now, I don't know if he becomes he becomes, at one point, he becomes Man-Wolf.
That's what I'm thinking of. Maybe it is.
Yeah, which is like kind of.
Yeah, yeah. John Jameson.
John Jameson
is the son.
Colonel John Jameson.
Okay. There you go.
He of NASA.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know how he becomes Man. And then remember, he's like in that weird, like, wheelchair kind of. It's like a hover wheelchair.
I don't remember that. But so that one's interesting because he comes back and he, in certain versions of the comics, I think he is friends with Peter Parker. I think he marries She-Hulk at some point.
Yep.
So he's another guy they can sort of get into. So let's get into the mid-credits scene.
Sure.
So really the biggest talking point of this entire movie is at the very, very end, you have Eddie Brock and Venom sitting on a couch. They're watching a Spanish soap opera.
They're in Mexico. Yeah.
They're in Mexico. They're on vacation. They got their feet in the sand. They're doing that whole thing. That's what he wanted. The hair or the wind in his hair. or whatever. He doesn't have
hair. He doesn't have hair.
But so basically, and they did a decent enough job showing you how like intelligent the symbiote is and like how they can sort of retain. Like, so when he saw all the wall paintings that Cletus Cassidy had, he could just like recreate them right away. So like they did a good job of like showing you how smart they were. But he's like, yeah, Eddie, like, we know so many things from so many dimensions and so many realities. Like, it would blow your small mind. And he's like, yeah, right. So then he goes to show them, and then all of a sudden they're like transformed into another place, another hotel room, and the TV turns on and it cuts to the very end of Spider-Man Far From Home, where J. Jonah Jameson made his debut in the MCU, coming over from the Sony movies, and says, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And then it shows a picture of him, and it's Tom Holland with his mask off. And then Venom's like, oh, look at this guy. And he like licks the screen. He, like,
oddly, weirdly licks the screen.
So here we go. This was what was the most debated thing going into Venom, is would we get Spider-Man in it? So technically, yes, he is in it. Or moreover, Venom is now
canon
in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Because the MCU is fucking everything now.
Yep.
As we're going to see in Spider-Man No Way Home coming up. They're going to open that up. Yeah.
So, I mean, the idea is that somehow, and I've been reading all of this stuff about it and all these breakdowns of it and all that stuff, and it looks like this is part of Strange's spell. In so far, like, and basically that the reason why, like, Venom and Eddie Brock kind of have like this like mind opening, like, we're going to do this thing. And as soon as that happens, it just so happens to coincide with Strange's spell.
Okay.
That one.
Are we even convinced it is Strange?
I think he's doing it on purpose. I think he's trying to find Wanda.
Got it. That would make way more sense to just like hiding Peter's identity and changing.
But he's using it as an excuse to like do things he's not supposed to be doing.
But so what they're doing it. So I guess my question would be, in the world, actually, in the first Venom, didn't they reference a Spider-Man in like a newspaper or something? Because I'm trying to think, and maybe somebody in the chat would know, is Venom and Carnage and, you know, Michelle Williams, is there a Spider-Man in their universe? I forget, to be honest. I don't remember.
I don't think they ever mentioned him. And that was one of the, I think when we talked about it, like, mention it.
Yeah.
Like, because they talk about him being in New York and being a reporter in New York and working for, like, because he was on like some, it wasn't the Bugle, but it was, he basically was like a Vice style reporter.
Yeah. But the Daily Bugle does come up in the movie.
It does. Because he actually there's like a, they show it. Like, don't they show a Daily Bugle? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. So that part's interesting. So now it's like, all right, Venom is going to be in this world. Does he pop up in Spider-Man No Way Home like everybody else?
He has to.
Yeah, I guess. It's also funny because the one thing I did read was Andy Serkis talking about them getting Spider-Man in the movie, and he was just like, it was like, so like, they didn't know, like, there was like all over the place because of the rights,
right?
Like, what were they allowed to do? And so,
and at the time they were making that, remember, Sony did that shit, and Tom Holland actually had to step in and say, you know.
Yeah, so it was like all over the place whether or not they could even do it or what they were going to do. And I just wonder, like, all right, so he seems like he's going to be attracted to Spider-Man. So are we going to get a face-to-face at some point with Spider-Man and Venom?
I hope we do. And honestly, what I want to see happen, you know what I'm going to say, like, because I've been dying for this movie forever, is Kraven's Last Hunt. Because Kraven actually team up in that movie. So the other thing that would be interesting too is that not only do we see the three Spider-Men, but Venom actually kicks in too and helps. Because that's happened. That's happened before.
Well, right now, based on the two movies we've seen, Venom is way more a good guy than he is a bad guy.
Correct.
Like, this version, this Venom that we have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Is more likely to team up with Spider-Man than he would be team up with Green Goblin or Doc Ock.
Right. So he's not, I don't think he's part of that Sinister Six, but maybe at some point he would be, I don't know.
So he kind of does have to be in it. I wonder, if they've already filmed it, or I wonder if he is just going to be in it for like a quick second or what, because again, this universe is weird. Like, I don't know if it's the Andrew Garfield universe, even though it's Sony. I can't tell. Like, I don't know if there are other super, like, is Venom in a world where there are other superheroes? I mean, clearly he is. Like, if Shriek exists,
right,
there has to be others, because Morbius comes out, I think, next year. And so Morbius, didn't they say is in the Venomverse?
Well, we know Spider-Man's in it. And so, yeah. But it was the Maguire suit.
Yeah, right.
In Morbius. So that's it. And the other thing too, is like Tom Hardy, there was a picture of Tom Hardy with somebody else on like Instagram or something. And he was wearing a No Way Home hat.
Pretty good.
So I was like, yeah, we know.
I don't know.
You know, this is like the worst kept secret in the world. But I think this is the most interesting, that this 30 seconds or whatever it was the most interesting part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, now the world is completely blown open.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, John Jameson, who we were just talking about before.
Yes.
He was in the first Venom movie.
He was.
Yeah.
I thought we knew that.
So they could bring that guy back.
He was also in Spider-Man 3, the Raimi one.
No, I know he was. A different actor, though. But yeah. Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with this and how prominent Venom and Spider-Man are going to be together. Because don't you think. My idea of this whole thing is that they're going to open up the worlds in all the different dimensions only to close them up again. To be like, this is what we have.
Or like Days of Future Past it. Now some people are stuck there.
Yeah, right.
Like but Venom's like, so now stuck. We can call it 616 if we want. You know, so because I think they mentioned that in Far From Home. When Mysterio is like, this is Earth 616.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the possible Earth, this is 616. He actually says 616. So,
yeah.
And I forget the number of the Ultimate Universe, but.
It's pretty crazy, though. I mean, this is good news for Venom. I think it breathes life into the Venom movies and to the character, because it's so hard. It's almost useless to be a Marvel character nowadays and not be in the MCU. You got to at least tie yourself in there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, but
so now, so like, fuck, like, can we please? So did you see the thing too, that people are now clamoring for either a Daredevil movie or a season 4?
Yeah. I want a season 4.
I want a season four. And I also want him to show up in She-Hulk.
I want him in She-Hulk. I obviously think that he's going to be in the new Spider-Man movie, but you could really kind of expand him more in She-Hulk and then give him his own show. My one fear is if you give him his own show on Disney+, it's not going to be nearly as graphic as the Netflix show was.
But again, I mean, look at what they've done with The Mandalorian. They've kind of.
Yeah, but Daredevil and Punisher, go back and watch those.
What if they put them on Hulu?
Yeah, then I think you could get away with more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be.
Shout.
I'd be in there with that. All right, any other Venom thoughts? Venom in the MCU, obviously. Pretty good news. Excited to see where they go from here. So, prediction, we both think he will be in the Spider-Man movie very briefly.
Yes, and probably like at the end, like towards the end.
Yeah.
Where and they have all like the whatever the makings of the Sinister Six, and then he doesn't bite. He doesn't do it. Because you got to figure, the people we know, right, who are in villains, who are going to be in this movie, Doc Ock.
Yep.
Green Goblin. Venom.
Electro.
Scorpion. Venom. Rhino, Vulture.
Yeah.
So like there's 8 right there. Yeah. So like if we're going to do Sinister Six, we don't know which six they are.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, by the way, are you okay that they apparently just killed off Carnage? Like Carnage was a one and done character.
He might not be dead. Oh, again, now does it reset? Is there a Carnage in the other universe? Mm. So now see, this is where shit gets, we start losing it, because Carnage could still be. But again, there's so many symbiotes that it's just, it doesn't really matter.
Michael says Vulture is in the Morbius movie. So obviously it must be.
Yeah, he was in the trailer.
Tom Holland's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy, man. I'm excited to see how the whole thing works out. My one pause with Venom sort of showing up is I wonder if the Marvel movies are going to be like, yeah, we're going to spend time with this guy. Like, we don't really care. Like, he's not really part of art. Like, yeah, okay, Sony, he's in our universe. But. Are they going to take care of him? Because it would be cool, even if you just heard his voice and he popped up at the end, But like, yeah. Do they want to wait? They love having like a cliffhanger finish. They love having a massive mid-credit scene. I don't know if they would. I don't think it'd be a waste, but I feel like they might think it's a waste to have him be like the mid-credit scene in a movie that's going to be this massive.
Yeah,
that'd be my only concern.
I'm trying to think of like how you would do it, like how you would do that in like a mid-credit scene or something like that, and how like what would be awesome to me is, you know, like at the end of kind of every Spider-Man movie, he's kind of swinging around the city. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think each of them have ended that way with him swinging around the city, and to have like that high flying, like orchestral music. And then all of a sudden you see like the symbiote, like rope, like grab him and pull him back.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
That's all you need. And they're just hear him like laugh or something.
I'd be in.
And then I would love to see
lick his face.
The symbiote rope, like grab him in the back of the head and like pull him backwards and like make him crash. And you hear, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like that's all you need.
I want to eat him, Eddie.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. I'm in on that. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go, Venom. We're excited about how that goes. And obviously now big time ramifications. So I think we were both right, because you said Spider-Man was going to be in the movie. I said he would not be in the movie. Footage from the other one in the mid-credits. So I think we're both right. I think
we're both right.
With
call it happened. A win.
All right, let's get to the old pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may also choose to defend a goal?
I will take the – we will receive.
Okay.
And I will say I will – one of the things I see – you asked me if I had seen Midnight Mass, and I said I had not because something got in the way, and that certain thing on Netflix is I'm buying it, Rich. The hype is there. We're going to probably have to do an episode on this is Squid Game. So Squid Game, I'm 3 episodes in. It's legit. If you're going to have to read some, you're going to have to read some subtitles because it's in Korean.
It's okay.
But it's
how many episodes?
I think it's 8.
Okay. And it's all done. It's all there.
It's all there. So if you want to crank out Squid Game,
I'm behind a believer. So many things. I'm behind on Why the Last Man. I'm behind on Titans. I haven't even started Star Wars Visions. Because that fucking Midnight Mass took up 7 hours of my life.
And like I'm telling you, Squid Game's the real deal. Oh, and also great news here, if you haven't noticed yet, Seinfeld is on Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, that's great. All right. I have a very rare, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things from reliable people, and I'm going to watch it soon. Pick of the pod. Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Is the name of the show. It's on Hulu. They're releasing one episode a week. Actually, they did what they did with Why the Last Man. They put 3 episodes and then weekly. So it's going to be 10. There are currently 7 out. And I will pitch it the way that it was pitched to me.
Okay.
There are 3 people. There's a murder in a building. Somebody's dead, murdered in a building. There are 3 people who live in that building who all love the same true crime podcast. They then decide together that they're going to make their own true crime podcast to try to solve who murdered the person in their building.
And the so they and the whole reason it's called that is because it's like, we only do true crime stories about things that happen in the building.
Right.
Because they don't leave the building. They don't leave. No. So that's, yeah.
So, and that's what they're about, and they're going to solve it, and because they're inspired by their other true crime podcast, they're obsessed with it. The 3 people, there were strangers, and now they're teaming up for this: Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
Which is like the 2 of them you get. Like, how did Selena Gomez get involved in this? How did she luck out to be?
I don't know
part of that,
but I think it's going to be amazing. So it's listed as a mystery comedy television series, and so I haven't even started it, but I just know it's going to be good. So that's the next thing that I am going to watch. I got to catch up on all my other stuff. Keep an eye out for Dinks all month long.
Dork Dinks.
We're probably gonna do top 10 horror comics soon, and then Jason Rossi, because it is, by the way, Dorktober 6. Jason Rossi Lives. He's gonna join us for some Dinks as well, talking about old classic horror movies, ones that are streaming. We will let you know when we're doing it and what movie we're doing. So if you guys want to watch it ahead of time, just sort of interact with that.
Can't wait to hear what he thinks is good and not good. That's always a crapshoot with Jason Rossi.
Yep.
This is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes.
I can't wait to bring that back. That's going to be, have that back again.
We can wear that out probably when he joins us next. I just tweeted, by the way, from Dork Podcast, a list of movies that are available right now on HBO Max, Peacock, Netflix, and Hulu. And if you're into horror movies, HBO Max seems to be loaded. Loaded.
They have The Evil Deads, and they have Army of Darkness. So
what more do you need? And by the way, Peacock seems to have a million things too. And Halloween Kills will be streaming on Peacock in 2 weeks. So next week, we're going to do What If. I got to catch up on that. I have a couple episodes to go. The final episode of What If comes out this Wednesday. Honestly, it's been a disappointing season, but we can get into the good, the bad, and the ugly from What If. We'll do that next week. Keep an eye out for the dinks. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast, and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Dork Podcast. Anything else, Rye?
Yeah, just make sure if you're going to watch, you can watch The Night Flyer on YouTube. So
for free, free of charge.
Let me know what you think.
All right, Rye, what do they say about wombats?
They have square dudes and tiny dinks.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong. Stay positive and stay strong.